You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Manchester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
Last week we wrapped up our Colossians series, walking through the book of Colossians week by week, and maybe you were reading as well along with us. And at different points in the year, we just take time just to walk through a book of the Bible, and just systematically and rather than topical. We're moving on to a topical series now that's going to launch our term for the next few months. Over May leading into the summer, what we really want to do as a church is really increase our breadth and our depth of our relationships in the house of God. If you just have a look around you for a second, what you're looking at right now is not a crowd. What you're looking at is not people gathered for an event. What you're looking at is spiritual family. Every single one of us, look along your row. You may not even know the people along your row, but they are spiritually connected with you, and we are the family of God. We are brothers and sisters, and so what we're going to do over the next few weeks is really lean into the power of relationships, connection, and we're putting on a whole bunch of things that are designed for us to grow our tables, to grow our connections, and also deepen them. And so we're going to look at that, and we're going to start today by looking at Luke chapter 22. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 22 for a second. And I'm going to read from verse number 14. It says, when the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. He said to them, I've eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and he said, take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And then he took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it. And he gave it to them saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. Jesus reclining with his disciples at the table. And the series over the next 4 weeks we're looking at is simply called At the Table. At the Table. When you think about who was around Jesus' table, it would be incredible to think about the stories, the memories, the moments that they would have shared together. And now we speak about them 2,000 years ago because there's incredible power with things that happen at the table. And so we want to focus on what we do at the table. And today, more importantly, who is at the table? Let's quickly pray. God, we just thank you that today we gathered not as a crowd, not as just people coming to an event and watching something, but we are your spiritual family. We're connected, brothers, sisters, aunties and uncles. And God, you've knit us together to be your family. You're the head and we are your children. We're sons of the living God. And we thank you that today, as we lean into the power of the table, the power of relationships, God, we pray that you would knit us together. Help us to go not just wider, but deeper in our relationships. And God, that would build incredible strength as a home base from which we do everything in our life. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. A little louder. Amen. Amen. Well, next year, me and Emily will have been married for 20 years. That makes us old. got to be the most stressful thing about any wedding day, I'm sure you'll agree if you've been married. It's not the service, it's not even the thought of getting married, but it's the seating plan. I mean, it's the biggest game of chess you will ever play in your life. You're moving people around, and then just when you think you've got the seating plan worked out, your parents come along. They have a look at the table, and you've got to invite Uncle Bob that you've never met before. And you've got to invite their friends, and you're thinking, how am I going to move everything around to accommodate these people that I've never met, and I'm probably never going to ever have any time with them in the future? The seating plan is the most stressful thing. You know you're getting really old when you actually become the very people that you had to accommodate on your seating plan. I've found over the last few years, we now are those people. We are the friends of the parents getting the invite. We are Uncle Bob. But it's stressful trying to work out. And when you think about, we think about our wedding 20 years ago and think about the tables and who was around, how many of those people are still around today? How many people have kept going through those 20 years and we've built on those relationships and strengthened them and deepened them. And you know, there's certain memories that we'll never forget together. Because there's certain relationships that are seasonal, but there are some relationships that God gifts to us that are lifelong relationships. And our heart and passion in this church is that you would find lifelong, life-meaning relationships that build strength that you can build from. And so our heart is that we would be a church where we can find those, we can nurture those, we can build on them, and we can enjoy them. Because it's in the connection that we find together that we're stronger. And so it begs the question, have we got the right people at the table? And even a question deeper than that, who are the right people to have at the table? The Bible speaks really clearly into this about who are the right people at the table. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 26, it says, "The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray." In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, it goes into deeper depth, and it says, "Do not be yoked, don't be connected, don't be connected together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness?" Now, this scripture for context is not talking about the friendships that you should have and connections that you should make and people that you should do life with. It's talking that word yoked is the instrument that was put over two ox when they were plowing a field. And it would keep them together on the same path for time to produce something that the Maker had in mind for them to produce. And so when the Bible here, Paul is speaking in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, saying, "Do not be yoked," he's saying, don't have unbelievers, don't let them in your home or be connected, but it's saying, think about the deepest connections that you have that are about kingdom purpose, that are about your spiritual strength, nourishment, support, the people that you go to when you face the biggest challenges of life. You should be yoked with believers. These are the people that we should have at our table. I want to speak about the table in another context, about home base. That the people at your table are the home base. When you come home to, that's where you find your rest, recuperation, your strength, so that you can do what God has called you to do. And I'd like to suggest the Bible teaches us that our home base or our table should be people in our spiritual family, the house of God, in church, so that we can rest and recuperate together, that we can come and be strengthened together. So having the right people at your table, what does that do? Number one, it gives us perspective. When we think about in Luke chapter 22, in verse 14, and it says that Jesus was reclining at the table with his disciples. For a minute, think about who was at the table. There was Simon Peter, who was, you know, he would speak his mind. He was a little bit brash, maybe. He was definitely impulsive, but he had a leadership characteristic. He would make decisions and he would stick by them if he, you know, maybe sometimes it was slightly offbeat, but he would make the decisions. And we also had his brother Andrew, who's a lot quieter, and the Bible always lists him second. He very much was in the shadow of his brother. He was maybe quieter, but there was something different about Andrew because he was the one that recognized who Jesus was. And he said to his brother, "This is Jesus. This is the Lamb of God." We also have James and John, who were nicknamed the Sons of Thunder, which maybe describes their characteristics. They were the people that said to Jesus in Luke chapter 9, "Come on, call down fire on this village." And Jesus said, "Calm down, calm down." You know, and then we have Matthew, the tax collector. A tax collector was at the table. This was the most despised and corrupt business of the day. And yet Matthew had a seat at the table. We have Simon, the religious zealot. We have Judas. Come on. I mean, we don't need to say anything more about Judas. We have doubting Thomas. We have all these characters representing different perspectives, different socioeconomic groups, different ways of thinking, different backgrounds, different perspectives on life, different places they're coming from. And all of these people had a seat at Jesus' table. Amazing to think about Jesus looking around and reclining at his table, and he had chosen the people at his table. Because earlier on in Scripture, the Bible tells us that people were saying, "Hey, your brothers and sisters and your mother, they're outside, they're waiting for you." And he looked to this group, as dysfunctional as we may think they are, and he said, "Hey, these are my brothers, my sisters, these are my mothers." He'd made a decision about who was at his table, because all these people at his table would represent different mission opportunities, different groupings to reach. They would represent different perspectives and challenges and opinions for Jesus to consider. All of the people gathered at the table contributed something different. And the same is true in the house of God, that when the Bible calls us not just a family, but a body, he's describing different gifts and different talents and different perspectives and different groups who gather together to meet, to hear the word of God. But every one of us is valuable and we have a seat at the table. And your table needs to be a group of people that don't think like you and don't see like you. Because Jesus gathered a group who saw something he maybe hadn't seen in his humanity, or felt something he didn't feel in his humanity. And the same is true, that we don't see what we don't see. And we don't know what we don't know. Any honest people in the room? You got any blind spots, or is it maybe just me? We've all got blind spots, and so we need a group of people at our table who can speak things into our life, who bring a different perspective and say, "Hey, can I just help you with the way you responded there? Because I saw it from a different perspective." Or, "Can I just describe something? Because when you said this, I felt this." And that might not be what you meant, but maybe others could have felt that too. And you have that seat at the table to go, "Okay, I'm going to listen to that and I'm going to apply it." We've got to have people that don't see what we see and don't know what we know, that have a seat at our table because they'll bring you a different perspective. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:14, where there's no counsel, the people fail. But in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. I need the safety net of people at our table to bring different perspectives. Proverbs 15:22, plans fail. Doesn't matter how good your vision is. It doesn't matter how good your plans are. Doesn't matter how big your goals and your strategy is. Plans fail for a lack of counsel. But with many advisors, they will succeed. I want to ask you the question again. Who's at your table? Who's got a seat in the decision-making of your life? Who's a counselor when you need some wisdom, advice? Who's there as a safety net in your life that you can run ideas and thoughts and decisions past? Rather than saying individually, I've made a decision, or even you spiritualize your own feelings by saying, God's told me. When the Bible clearly teaches us that God speaks to us through a multitude of counselors called the church, the house of God. And so you need people at your table to bring a different perspective. Can someone say, honest people say, amen? Second thing is, what the table will do is bring you resilience. Jesus said in verse 15, he said, before we suffer, I've eagerly desired to eat this meal with you around this table before I suffer. And there's one thing that's inevitable in life, and that is suffering. Our Christian life, our faith in Jesus, does not discount us from suffering. Rather, it prepares us for it. And so we've got to understand that when suffering comes, there better be people at our table. It's amazing to think, 6 months ago, my mum passed away, and at the funeral that was 2 hours away, I had people who were sat at my table who traveled down and were with me in my suffering. See, it's in your suffering, that's when you realize you need people at your table. And you, whether you know it now or not, you're going to need people around your table. And what the table does is it brings resilience into your life. That even when you feel like giving up, when you feel like backing away, the table will bring encouragement. The table will bring strength. The table will enable you to keep on going. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9 and 10. Says two are better than one. I mean, that's just common sense right there. The numbers do the talking. Because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, the other one can help them up. But pity anyone who fails and has no one to help them up. We've got to find those people. Again, the question is, who's at your table? Do you have a group of people that you can go to when you're in crisis or when you need some prayer or when you're in the process of making a decision? Do you have that group of people when you're going through a challenging season that can bring resilience and strength into your life? The third thing the table does is it gives you purpose. Verse number 16. Jesus reclining at the table, I tell you, I will not eat again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. Jesus looking around his table and said, the reason we're gathered here today is not to eat some nice food and to drink some nice wine. The reason we're gathered here today is not to sing Kumbaya and have goosebumps in an altar call. Jesus says the reason we're gathered here today is to see the fulfillment of the kingdom of God. And the reason that we as a church are called to gather is to be part of seeing the fulfillment of the kingdom of God in our generation. Come on, the reason we come on a Sunday is not just to sing, is not to enjoy ourselves, is not just to walk away feeling a little bit better about our life. The reason we're gathered today is to see the fulfillment of the kingdom of God in our generation. We come here to be stirred up, to go, come on, there's another level to go to. There's another person to reach. There's another region to get to. There's an unreached people group in our city that we need to make a difference into. The reason we gather in our small groups midweek is to come together and go, come on, it's been difficult at work this week. But midweek, I'm having a lunch stop, a spiritual lunch stop. Come on, let's pray together. Would you pray for the rest of this week that I can go and see the fulfillment of the kingdom of God in my workplace? Because every single one of us is called together to see his kingdom come. Hebrews 10:24, let us consider how we may stir one another up in love and good works. So when you're feeling good, the reason you come to church is because you sit on your row, you look around the people behind you, in front of you before we start worship, you go, I'm going to bring the praise today because that person, I don't know what they've been going through this week, but I'm going to lead from my seat. I'm going to sing so loudly, this person's going to hate the fact that I'm singing off key, but they're going to love the fact that I'm giving everything to praise. It's going to encourage them. The people along that row, the row today, they may feel disconnected, but I'm going to connect them today. I'm not going to wait for Pastor Paul to connect them. I'm going to be their pastor today. I'm going to connect them so they feel that they have a place that they're known and needed in this house. That's how you come to church on a Sunday. That's why you go to small group. Not even because you need it this week, because you're having a great week. You go because you get through that door. And you're going, right, if no one else prays today, I'm laying hands on every single one of you. Because I'm full of the Holy Spirit today. You've got the oil in your pocket. Bang, bang, bang. And on other days, you don't feel like that. And you come and you get through the house just about through the door and you say, guys, I need you to pray for me today. I need to remind myself what I'm on the planet for. I've only got 80, 90 years. So I need to make the most of the rest of this week because I'm not going to get this week back. So help me, remind me, guys, why we're on the planet. We're here to see the fulfillment of the kingdom of God in our generation. The last thing is your table is about memories, making memories. Jesus said, as he broke the bread and he passed the cup, he said in verse 19, do this in remembrance of me. And for 2,000 years, one of the great sacraments of the church that we have, baptism and also the taking of communion. 2,000 years later, we're still remembering what happened at this table in this act of breaking of the bread. And he said this to his friends, his disciples, he said to his people, the people that he had chosen at his table, this bread, this is the breaking of my body, you'll see. And this wine, this is the shedding of my blood. And a few days later, thinking, wow, what we did at that table, now the church is going to do for 2,000 plus years. Because the table is all about memories. We're encouraging you over the next few weeks and months to firstly, we are urging every single person, find a table, get a seat at the table, be part of the small groups, which our small groups is not a program. It's only a program because it's firstly our heart is that every person connects. And the reason we do programs in Audacious Church is simply to get our heart in action. And so we don't advertise programs for the sake of a program. We advertise a program because we're praying for all of our church to find meaningful, life-giving relationships. And so we're just saying the way we hope this can be done is by every single person, 100% of our church, finding for themselves a small group that they can belong to. That they can look around the room and say, we're doing purpose together. We're doing life together. That together, we're going to create memories. And if you run a small group or you want to, we're saying over this term, come and lead your own table. Find a table and bring people together together. And you might have a burning passion to create a table. Let's create tables and let's have meals together. And let's go on social things that are on the calendar and social things that are not on their on the church calendar. But every single one of us, let's find tables, let's create tables, let's connect with people that we've never connected with before. Because this is our spiritual family. And together, we're going to build resilience and strength and memories and purpose. We want every single person to find meaningful connection.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.